You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Recorded or transcribed.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
spot. With your knife. Running like a red disease. Running like a red disease. Ghetto people. Stop giving up yourself. Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life there's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I'm your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're going to have a good day, a good weekend. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping to weather is accommodating for you. But if it's not, it has to get done, it will get done because you will get it done. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Also, too, you can use the shortcut, whatever search engine you might want to use, and just put in the search, babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net. Once again, programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Kwaku. Appreciate you, man. We have our guest, Brother Ayo Kamathi, the irritated genie, and, of course, this is eye-opening dynamic book, The Jews Are the Problem. We're going to be talking about that and other stuff, but I'm going to read the Inyash Sesema Madu. I'm not going to deal with the announcements, as I usually do. But I will say this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening on Thursdays from 7 to 8, Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move. Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club on Thursdays from 7 to 8. Tonight at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m. once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215. 490-9832. We're going to go right to the Inyash Sesema of Daily Revolutionary Thought. And I'll read today, tomorrow, and and Sunday. Excuse me, today and tomorrow. I read yesterday, today, and tomorrow. All right, April 11th. Without vigorous black nationalist thinking and an aggressive black nationalist program of action, we will continue to chase false dreams created by our oppressors. My good brother and friend and ancestor, Dr. Conrad Worrall. Some people say the warriors do not operate within reality, that they live in an unrealistic, childish fantasy based on some hopeless hope of victory in the face of overwhelming defeat. However, what is systematically overlooked by these same people is that their analysis and conclusions are limited to an unimaginative disingenuous given them by a menticide, which has them seeing warriors through Urugu's eyes. Any assessment of the African possibilities through these eyes is constrained by the whole host of unspoken impossibilities. It is beyond the scope of those eyes to imagine African sovereignty, because they would entail the absence of the presence and direction of Urugu. It is beyond the ability of such chronically diseased eyes to see that sovereignty is the only viable black nationalist program of action.
The warriors of whom they speak, however, have pure, clean, perfect vision. They can see that nothing could be more liberating to the African genius than sovereignty. They are sighted enough to know that without it, it is in this imposed, invasive, violent, volatile, anti-African reality, we will drawn into the sea of each other's self-hating misery. And being black nationalists, we call them to this work. We give them our experience so that they can also conclude that doubt drains and never question the clarity which has been passed on to them and has our ancestors told us to never act as if is it impossible to fail. Ashe, it's impossible to fail, family. Affirm, I'm vigorously black nationalist thinker who has an aggressive black nationalist program of action. Affirm, I'm a vigorous black nationalist thinker who has a black nationalist program of action. April 12th. The hardships, personal and personality clashes, mental health issues, broken bonds are mere hiccups on the road we must travel together that will ultimately return us to our glorious African selves. We must show up every day ready to do the work, being patient in the process and working until the work is done. Kwame Ahmed Abdullah. Warriors waste an enormous amount of time and energy blaming themselves for what they were before coming into consciousness. We must move beyond self-blame for the condition of our people. We must forgive ourselves for having acted in ignorance for any form of complicity with our people's enemy. We must understand that acting under the influence of European culture was beyond our aversion in that our reason then was not African. Who we were was a condition of temporary insanity when we did not know who we were, and therefore we cannot be held accountable for what we did. This forgiveness, however, does not apply to the post-awakening period of our lives. Forgiveness of self requires corrective action. At the same time, remember that true change from a horrible mindset is always incremental. Therefore, we must take into serious consideration the amount of time which we will require to acknowledge, stop, and reverse the damage done. Again, we only become blameless when as we gain consciousness, we apply correction to the whole of our lives. Earnest warriors personally acknowledge what they have done and do all in their power to prevent those aspiring to consciousness from continuing to walk along a similar destructive path. Warriors must forgive themselves for mistakes they made when they were not themselves. Affirm, I will do the warrior's work until full African sovereignty is attained. Affirm, I will do the warrior's work until full African sovereignty is attained. April 13th. Centeredness is a conceptualization which argues for and employs the philosophical should of Africans having knowledge and understanding of their historical origins and cultural development, which provides correctiveness to and necessary reverence for their ancestors, and thus an efficient perception of self in culture. The problematic is decenteredness, having a false connection to European history and culture, and thus misperception of reality, which often causes a psychopathological disconnectedness from the ancestors, from African culture, and at times even from the people of African descent. A form of self-alienation, it impedes a common cultural knowledge source for understanding in community, and thus preventing effective communications, particularly intergenerational. Brother Madupe. Being centered means actively thinking and living in the revolutionary consciousness of dynamic sacred space where the essence of our ancestors define and live as African people is at the purest and most densely concentrated. Centeredness is the highest level of our historical and visionary consciousness, giving an unqualified, complete sense of meaning and purpose to being African. It is a spiritual, mental, and physical state of being. Without being centered, Africans are merely rotting pieces of driftwood floating directionlessly around in another sea of insanity. Affirm, I am centered. Affirm, family, I am centered. Ashe, to Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Baba Mwali Mubarudi is my brother. In fact, I'm going to make this announcement right now that Baba Barudi will be at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore Sunday, making a presentation on the topic African-centered consciousness versus the New World Order, Garveyism in the Age of Globalism. Of course, that is Dr. Amos Wilson's book, and he will be discussing that. Baba Barudi, that's going to be this Sunday, the 14th, from 12 to 5 in the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore in Lithonia. In Lithonia, 6984 Main Street in Lithonia. That's this Sunday, family, from 12 to 5 o'clock at the Black Dot. All right. Brothers and sisters, it is always a pleasure and an honor to have Brother Ayo Kamathi on the program. He's a brother that I had an opportunity to meet many times before, and I tell you, he's a warrior, a true warrior, and he's courageous, and we need to make sure that we protect him, because he is doing the work. He's unafraid to call it out, no matter who it is. His latest book, Jews Are the Problem. Outstanding work. A lot of information. Man, I tell you. And they are. Brother Ayo, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Right on, my brother. I appreciate this opportunity. And thank you for coming on the program. Once again, and you know, you're always welcome here. I always promote you, and believe me. Yep. You want to talk about the book, or you want to talk about what's happening right before our eyes in real time? Genocide in Palestine. Man.
It's very interesting. First of all, I thank you for inviting me, and appreciate the audience and the whole platform here. I love what you brothers are doing.
Thank you.
And I've been familiar with you all for years. And I was actually in Philadelphia in April 2022.
Yes. Yes.
And I did a lecture at Brother Aaron's. They have a Unities, I don't know what it's called, and I don't know if it's the same name in Philadelphia, but they have a clothing shop here, brother. And I talked about the plan ahead, and my book was going to be released in July 2022. And this was only a month before. And I said, in a few years, I said, not long, the only conversation that's going to be relevant is Jews. I said, that was the whole discussion. I said, that's all we're going to be talking about is Jews. Because if you can see what's happening with the world, and we'll get right into Palestine like you're talking about, but what I was trying to make the point, and I think people are beginning to see it, there's no way to escape the reality of what the world is facing. If we just take our time and actually investigate what are the driving forces behind the things that are happening on this planet, it doesn't matter what you're talking about. The driving forces, we know the names, we know who they are and where they are. It's Jews driving everything. If it's the P. Diddy thing that everybody's looking at now, and it's child sex trafficking, and it's sex trafficking, and it's homophilia, this homosexuality, and I call it Jew noise. Other people call it hip hop, but it's really was funded. We know the Jerry Heller, Interscope, Seagram's, Jewish Control at the top was what financed NWA to change us from being, you know, the Public Enemy style.
Right.
You know, I'm black and I'm proud. I'm ready. I'm hyped because I'm amped. You know, we were talking about being proud to be black, to calling ourselves N-words and talking about raping and destroying and defiling our own women. We know who did that. It was Jews. When we look at this stuff that we're seeing now, all we're living in is an NWA era. Who's driving this filth and culture? Jews. If we look at the no jab, no job, it's almost like we've lost 3 years and forgotten in time what it was like 3 years ago in 2021, where it started in 2020 with people dying because they can barely breathe because of a bioweapon that was released. And then in 2021, now no jab, no job. It was a literal health terrorism where if you don't take this thing, all the years you spent at your job, saving for your children's college, paying for your house, your land, taking care of your parents, all that's going to go down the line unless you kill yourself with this jab.
Yeah, I was a firefighter in the city of Milwaukee, man. And thank God I've been retired for almost a long time, since 06. But, man, they were faced with that. They were faced with that, man. I'm like, I don't know, man, because I didn't take the jab and would definitely not take the jab. But, man, it's your job.
And you know, it's your we don't really consider, we don't think about this, how many people who we did not expect to pass or die or to get extremely sick since 2021 are not here.
Yeah. I just read from the Inyasa Sim, Brother Conrad World. He got COVID, you know, and he died, man. That's a tough-ass brother, man. Loved him, man. Loved Conrad, but he succumbed.
But that wasn't that. So that was from the bioweapon, but he didn't take the injection, right?
I don't know.
He passed before that.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't know. Because I'm going to say the people that we know took the injection, Marvelous Marvin Hagler. And I was
Hank
talking
Aaron.
About this yesterday.
Hank Aaron.
Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron. Cicely Tyson. These are people who, and I was bringing this up to people. If you talk about one of the greatest boxing middleweights of all time, easily Marvin Hagler's name's going
to
come up.
Has to.
And I say, when he passed, why didn't they have any celebration about him? Why didn't we barely heard it? And I remind people why. Because he had just taken a jab, and then he died shortly after taking it. And so it was right after he took it. So they didn't want that momentum to stop people from going to get the jab. So one of the greatest middleweights of all time, we don't even remember when he passed. Why? Because they wanted to hide it. That's how much power media had. I'm saying that to say, if we look at that, we look at the, like we talk about this culture and all of this is going on. If we go to what you're talking about what's going on in Palestine. If we really take a good look at it, yes, we see Jews committing an active, open, overt extirpation, annihilation, genocide of Palestinian people. But if we're really, really wise and step back from it, culturally, the same genocide they're committing with actual bodies, they've committed against black people in America, because we were not in 1988 going around calling each other N-words every other word. Yes, some of that culture existed in Detroit. Some of that culture existed in the West Coast. But just as a general United States of America, that wasn't our favorite word to call each other. It wasn't like that. Now, you can't go a day or 2 minutes without hearing. You turn on the radio, it's so ubiquitous, you can't go a day without hearing it if you're among our people somewhere. That's
right.
What we do.
Yes.
We did not call our women bees and hoes. That was not the standard. The most popular used word to describe a black woman wasn't a bee. In 1988, it just wasn't. because of Jewish finance and culture, the same annihilation to African black culture in America that we see happen in Palestine with real people on the ground has happened to black culture. But wait a minute. If we want to talk about pure numbers of deaths, far more Americans, and that includes black, white, and everybody else, have been murdered by this Jew jab in 2021. This injection is a bioweapon by this death jab that was orchestrated by Jews. And I'm going to talk about that in a second. More Americans were slaughtered than Palestinians right now. If we looked at the numbers of excess deaths on the planet right now, they're saying these are the numbers they're giving us. And most of the scientists who are looking at the numbers are saying it's much worse than this. But over the planet, there's a 27 million people excess death last year, over and above what you were supposed to be in this year, 27 million. They went around the planet injecting people with bioweapons, slaughtering and killing and culling the world population. Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about what's happening in Palestine, we can see the Jews murdering. Like, we can see it's open and obvious extirpation, annihilation, extermination. But we don't have to look all the way over there to see that. If we pay greater attention, they did the same thing to us right here. And many more of us were murdered. Far more Americans were murdered in this country than Palestinians are being murdered right now. And it's the same group behind it. If we talk about who created the mRNA technology, Weizmann. Weizmann what? He was the co-founder of mRNA technology? Jew. If we look at who was the first person arrested when this whole so-called COVID, we call it the Fauci, when it first happened in 2020, first person arrested, Lieber, who was working with China. And what was he? A nanobot technology expert. Meaning what? What they put in these jabs and what they're doing with this science is what they're culling the world population with. If we look at who said no jab, no job, who was in control of that in the executive branch of the federal government? Walensky. What? Jew. If we look at who was the coronavirus in control of that at the time, the czar, it was Zients, Jeffrey Zients. Jew. If we look at who were the chief medical operating officer for Moderna at the time, Tal Zaks. What? Jew. He's the one that came up in 2018 and did the TED Talks. You can put that in right now and go watch it online. And he talks about it. He's an Israeli, Tal Zaks, T-A-L-Z-A-K-S. But in his TED Talk, he says, we have hacked the software of life, meaning the DNA structure. We can add lines of code and pull lines of code out, just like you would do in Microsoft Word. So they have technology now that they can put into a vial that you think is a vaccine that never was intended. It is in no way, shape, or form did anybody get a vaccine for COVID-19. I want to make it clear to everybody.
Say that again.
There's no such thing.
Say that again.
There's no such thing and never existed, even an attempt. It wasn't even an attempt to be a vaccine to prevent COVID-19. It's completely not true. What they were giving people is bioweapon injections to start to edit the gene. It's gene editing technology. There's 0% debate with that. It's 100%. You can look it up right now. It'll tell you that's what mRNA is. It's gene editing technology. It has nothing to do with vaccinating anything. It's even criminal to use that word for this bioweapon injections that they're giving people. And I'm saying it because, see, I'm not just saying it to recount the particular issue with this. I'm saying we can particularly, specifically identify the Jews as being the ones who did it, because I just named some of the most important figures there. But then we can say the owner of CEO of Pfizer, Birla, Jew. Even more than that, we have a white guy in Maryland. I've spoken to him on the phone. J. Bart Klassen, M.D. Now, here's what's interesting about J. Bart Klassen, M.D. J. Bart Klassen, M.D. worked since 1988 across the hall from Anthony Fauci. So we're not talking about somebody who has some information and is sharing information, and we're trying to figure out if we agree or disagree with them. We're talking about someone since 88 worked across the hall from them. J. Bart Class and MD made it very clear in a peer-reviewed study. Now, why is a peer-reviewed study important? The highest standard for academia is what they call peer review, meaning people in your field.
Right.
So he's in this field, the biomedical field. They take what you're looking at and they shoot as many darts as they can at it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they cannot disprove it,
right,
and everything that you said in there, they say this is legitimate or a basis for it, then and only then will they put it out there, because their particular reputation as a professional in that field is on the line. In a peer-reviewed study, this is the name of it. I'm going to give you the ISSN number so everybody out there can go look it up for yourself. The ISSN number, it's called Trends in Internal Medicine. It's ISSN 2771-5906. Again, ISSN 2771-5906. The title of it is COVID-19 and Illegal U.S. Bioweapons Activity, an Insider's Revelation. It's by J. Bart Class and MD. I'm just going to read one little short piece of it because I think it really tells us a story. And it's 11 pages. I'm just going to read one little piece of it. Based on the author's observation from 1998 to present, and remember, he worked right across the hall with Anthony Fauci. He worked right there with him. He said the Mossad has been using NIH for development of bioweapons on NIH campuses.
The Mossad, that's Israel's secret service, correct?
Yes, sir. That's like the CIA of Israel. Yes, sir. Thank you for that. That's right. So let me go back right here. Let me start right here. To the author's knowledge, the Mossad leader at NIH was Israeli national Zami Ben Sassen. I want you to see, he's giving actual names. Zami, Z-A-M-I, Ben-Sassen, S-A-S-S-O-N, who worked across the hallway from the author. Based on the author's observation from 1988 to present, the Mossad, like you said, the Israeli Secret Service, or CIA of Israel, has been using NIH for development of bioweapons on NIH campuses, funding bioweapons development at other locations, and training U.S. citizens to become bioweapons experts for Mossad. Israel never signed the 1972 Biological and Toxin Weapons Convention, and the author provides evidence to indicate Mossad, using U.S. human and material assets, is running a large genocidal bioweapons attack on the world. Now, that's a small little piece from an 11-page document where this is someone who works in the field, and he is still there. And he has come out and written it so that it can't be disputed, and it's been peer-reviewed and published by a medical journal for the public to see. You can go look this up for yourself. He breaks it down. He gets into Jeffrey Epstein. He gets into the Jews that are involved in this kind of thing. And what we see is that when we're talking about what's going on in Palestine right now, in my estimation, what we're really looking at, more than something that's happening on a national basis somewhere outside of our region, it's not nationalized to Israel and Palestine. What we're looking at in a broader context is one of the arms of the octopus in committing global extermination and genocide against the world population. See, a lot of us, very rightly and very fairly so, as African nationalists — I'm an African nationalist, some people are pan-African black nationalists, but those of us who are conscious, if you will call it that — we say, these are Arabs. They're not our friends. And you're right. They are enemies. I mean, the Arabs have been enemies to African people.
That's right.
As long as Euros or Jews, quite frankly. Well, definitely as long as Euros. But there's a but to that, though. The reason that we should be in favor of the Palestinians over the Israelis is because of our interests, not because we love Arabs. But the same Israelis that are exterminating the Palestinians are the same ones that were exterminating us here and are still involved in that process on multiple levels, whether it was the crack cocaine in our communities, and you start really researching that, you find that going on, whether it's this whole death culture I call Jew noise that our people are totally involved in, and it's totally, totally taking over our forms of expression here and turning our children insane, whether it's this whole LGBT sick perversion that is being pushed on the society, getting sons to chop their phalluses off and getting girls to cut their breasts off and get hormone treatments. All of this genocide is committed by Jews. So if the Jews are killing us and they're killing Palestinians and they're killing white folks and they're killing everybody else, at some point the maturity comes in. It is not that we like none of these people. I'm like the last person on the list that likes anybody. If you're not an African,
that's right.
I don't like black people who don't help black people.
That's right.
You know that. You see me.
Yep. I say.
Yes, sir. But if we have one group who has decided that their arrogance and ego is so far out of control that they're going to exterminate the entire planet at the same time in multiple ways while we all watch, if we're not mature enough to put our differences aside for the moment to deal with these Jews who are killing all of us, then we probably deserve to die. Mm. I know that sounds harsh. Mm. I'm saying that's what we're going to have to do. Look, listen, when they first were talking about Hispanics coming into the country and the borders being open, honestly, I'm going to be honest. I didn't care. I'm not Mr. We Love America, and I'm not Mr. Anti-Hispanic. Now that I'm looking at it from a different perspective, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. This is the same tactics that the Jews used to overthrow Kemet. This is the same kind of black civilization. This is the same tactic they've used to overthrow many nations in the past history. They open your borders. Dr. Chancellor Williams talks about it, not necessarily mentioning Jews, but he talks about how most of the invasions did not occur from direct, or many of the early ones, from direct assaults. We let these people in, kind of opened our borders to them, and they brought more and more of their people and just started flooding in. And the next thing you know, then they invited the army and overthrew. Or then they married in, interbreeded, and then took over. This was a process that they've been using for thousands of years. So what we're looking at is something that we've seen before. So once I realized, wait a minute, I heard people saying it, but then I looked up and said, wait a minute, who's going to be losing all the jobs with all these people coming across the border? Mm-hmm. Who the first ones are going to lose the job? Black people. Mm-hmm. And once I started seeing them coming, I live in PG County, one of the wealthiest black suburbs in the country. It has, at one 2 years ago, it had 7 of the 10 wealthiest black suburbs in this country. Mm-hmm. PG County. And all of a sudden now, we've had situations, we've had to go to the school because they suspended a young brother because some Hispanic came and called him a monkey. And, of course, the brother put them hands on him, which he's supposed to do. We had to go to the school and say, now, you can't suspend him because we're not going to have somebody come into PG County, a black suburb, because they racist and Hispanic. I don't care where they came from. And thinking you're going to call black boys monkeys, you're going to get hands. That's how we do it around here. And that's a part of the culture. So we had to go to the school and be like, you know, try to stop him from getting suspended. My point being, once I started realizing, wow, I see, this is not about our you know, Hispanics coming in this country. It's about the destabilization of the American Republic, which includes us, and we're here. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to save this concept of America that has destroyed African people over the last 400 years. I'm trying to save black people who happen to be in America while the Jews are trying to destroy and collapse this republic, not in the interest of creating something better or helping black people, in the interest of committing genocide against everybody. Mm-hmm. So what we're witnessing in Palestine right now is, and I'm gonna talk about a few angles on it that people aren't seeing right now that I think are angles that are relevant. what we're looking at is Jews in that part of the world. They got hit in the mouth. They were not expecting what came. And when it came, what they're doing now is they were so shook,
you mean
in my estimation.
You mean the October attack?
Yes, the okay. October 7th attack.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned, and I'm going to talk about what I think happened to create that.
Yeah, I think it was a setup.
Yeah, a lot of people do, and I understand that. I understand that. I'm gonna put down what I think, and
sure.
And I definitely, you know, there's different angles on it and different possibilities. When I look at it, what we looked at is a situation that has created such a concern for them that they are intentionally going ballistic and killing these people publicly, mm-hmm. because they have, in their mind, they have two things that'll happen. If they don't do what they're doing in their mind, it's the Jews, then Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad, and these other groups are just going to come in there because they see that they're vulnerable and they're going to be in trouble. So they're like, we're just going to go all out because we own the American executive branch, anything. We can do whatever we want to do. they feel like they can do that. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you what I think. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm listening. I'm just,
okay.
Because what you're saying is not, although I'm snickering, the shit ain't funny. That's for sure.
Yeah. That's right.
It ain't.
That's right.
But.
So.
But go ahead.
So what I'm looking at is, just to put it into a different perspective than people have probably heard. All right, this is what we're dealing with. In order to complete this world extermination, I'm looking at it not from my perspective, from a Jewish perspective. All right, what do they have to do to kill the world population? Well, we remember with the Asians, just for people that may not know this, but the Jews have been intermarrying into the highest levels of the Asians society for about over 100 years now. It's kind of how they work, and most people don't know that. But if you can see it, remnants of it, with people like Zuckerberg married to a Chinese woman. You start looking around, and you start seeing all these rich Jews marrying these Chinese women into these Chinese families, or the Jewish women marrying into these Chinese families at a high level. Why? Because the Chinese are the ones that they're going to try to leverage to be the ones that have power in the interim before they take full power between the U.S. After they try to get the U.S. and Russia to fall. So what have they done? So they pivoted and got significant interest with China. A lot of the secrets that were stolen from the military secrets of the United States of America were stolen by Jews and given to China. There are cases about that. You can look up and just put it in the internet. It'll pop right up. They've sold China a lot of these military secrets because they're positioning China to be the next victim of their parasitic nature. You know, they go and parasite the Chinese while in the interim of destroying other folks. So that just tells you where the Chinese are. So where are their big threats? Their big threats are, one, and I'm talking about physical threats. Their biggest threats are the United States, Second Amendment Americans. They're not concerned about the United States as a republic because it's no longer a republic from the executive branch position, because all of the executive branch is controlled by Jews. Blinken, Secretary of State, that's war. Yellen, money, that's Federal Reserve. You know, you got, you go down the line. We talk about, it was Walensky on the CDC, which is health. Now it's Cohen. It's just Jews all over the place.
All over the place.
You just go look at the executive branch.
Yeah.
Everything. Intelligence. Yeah. Avril Haines. Yeah. It's just a bunch of Jews.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm looking at it here.
But,
I'm looking at it here in your book, Biden's cabinet. Just Merrick Garland. Eric Lander.
That's right.
Love. I was surprised that Mayorga was European Jew. Alejandro Mayorga. Yeah.
Right. Homeland we all Security. Thought Mayorga was a Hispanic.
Exactly.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Mayorga is a Jew that's opening up the country for every invader that wants to come in, all the people that white folks have gone and beat over the head around the world, with the Jews, sometime at the Jewish bequest.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Jews are taking those same people, sending them in, military age men, running through the border like they're running across the street, and setting up the U.S. from an internal collapse from the invaders that the Jews are bringing in. Mm-hmm. So That's not the Jews' concern, the Republic. Their concern is what the Republic stands for, which is the people. The Second Amendment Americans are the best armed civilian population on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid of them because they don't control them the same way they control the executive branch. See, the leadership of the white race in America now are very similar to the Sambos we have in our race. They're just pure, unadulterated race traitors. The white folks have no committed leadership on any level in a government perspective. They can't voice their opinion anyway. If there is one that feels that way, they're not doing anything about it. They have no representation. Similar to black people, right now we're in the worst crisis of black leadership I think we've ever been in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have a hard time naming a legitimate African black leader in this country that really cares about black people and has significant following and capacity, because we've been so destroyed by so many different things. And we have so many race traitors,
right,
that have been put in front of us, like a P. Diddy and Al Sharpton and a bunch of homophiles, just a bunch of fags, not men, not women of any integrity, just a bunch of traitors. The white race is facing the same thing in this country. However, they have one advantage that we don't have. On the ground, come up in their house and try to take something, they pull in that heat.
They're well armed.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're well armed. So from the Jewish perspective, in order to finish what they want to do worldwide, they have to do something about the white American on the ground with his Second Amendment and Russia, which is a nation that faced the Bolshevik Revolution, which was a Jewish extermination campaign of Eastern Europe,
mm-hmm.
Russia and Ukraine in specific. And they were slaughtering them, up to 66 million of them, from the early parts of the 1900s to the mid-1900s. Like, what we see there is, if anybody ever, black, ever paid any attention to what happened there, it actually is the most gruesome thing. I mean, it's not slavery, but boy, I'm telling you, it's knocking on the door of it in terms of the level of brutality and monstrous genocide, yeah, that the Jews committed against the Russians,
yeah,
in the Bolshevik Revolution. Now, in order for the Jews to effectively exterminate the planet, they cannot have Russia strong and the United States of America strong. This wouldn't be possible. So the way that Jews fight is that they fight by proxy. Mm-hmm. They're going to get you to fight your brother because they cannot beat you and your brother.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, in their mind, I don't need to beat both of them. I can beat both of them because they're going to fight each other, and I just come get the spoils of war. So the whole war that we saw in Ukraine is being fought by Russia for a couple of things. One, the objective is to destroy Russia, but to use NATO to do it. But the Jews know that Russia is going to resist, which for them is what they want. They're not interested in destroying Russia. They're interested in Russia and the West destroying each other. See, it's deeper than just the Jews are the ones that are funding Ukraine. They are. But they're also the ones trying to drive the U.S. into the war with Russia. Why? Because the objective is the extermination of the planet population. They cannot beat either the U.S. white civilians on the ground, who are armed, or they can't beat Russia physically. But if the two fight each other, then the Jew can step back and watch them slaughter each other and then become the most powerful army on the planet as they're aligned with the Chinese. That's all they're going to do is align themselves, because they're already aligning with the Chinese. So when we saw Ukraine, the U.S. had bioweapons labs in Ukraine. When Russia went in, there were two main things that Russia went in there that they said they were going in there for. One, they had these bioweapons labs in Ukraine, and that was concerning the Russians, and they were talking about wanting to make Ukraine part of NATO, which would put military bases from the U.S. and other groups, mm-hmm, right on their borders. And Russia said, that's our red line. We won't allow it. So the bioweapons labs that they saw, Russia said, we're not comfortable with them having bioweapons labs And two, this LGBT filth. Zelensky, who's the Jew who runs Ukraine, an open homophile, sadistic freak and queer. Like, we have videos of him
in drag, leather, yeah.
In drag, doing all kind of gay stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a sick queer. So they have this sick queer running a country that's on the border of Russia with chemical bioweapons labs that when Russia finally said, we're not going to take this anymore, and went in, they found, I think it was 40. People are now saying 23, between 23. But I remember one time it was 40. But anyway, the U.S. finally acknowledged, okay, we do have some bioweapons labs there. Matter of fact, Victoria Nuland spoke about it. Yeah, we have them there. But they're for defensive purposes, not for offensive purposes. Hmm. From what we understand right now, in some of these bioweapons labs, not only do they have stuff like bubonic plague and things of this nature, but they actually have weapons, bioweapons, that are targeted specifically at the African genome. Specifically targeted at the Russian genome, meaning they can come into a room, release this stuff, and only a Russian will die. Me and you said they'd be fine, but the Russian, they're going to be in trouble. Or they can come in a room with a bunch of white folks, release it in the air, and only the black people fall out. So these are the kinds of things that Russia's finding, and you know, they're going to eventually tell us everything that they found. But suffice it to say, this is why Russia went in there. Now, here's what's important to understand. If we look at it as Ukraine and Russia, we're missing it. And we got to start. That's why I'm so glad you gave me the opportunity to talk today, because I want to give people the way you're supposed to look at it. Once you see this, the whole concept changes. The Jew is not confined to any region. So don't look at it like countries fighting each other. It's the Jew against Russia. It's the Jew against America. It's the Jew against black. It's the Jew against white. It's the Jew against all of us. So when you see Ukraine and there's a Jew, Zelensky, running it, don't look at it like Ukraine's fighting Russia. The Jews are going to fight Russia. All of this is being orchestrated by Jews. So what was happening with Ukraine was the Jews had bioweapons labs pointed at the Russian genome on the border of Russia. The Jews had LGBT that they're trying to push into the Russian culture right there on the border with this Ukraine thing. That's the Jews. Who's funding and supporting Ukraine to do this? The Jews in America and the Jews in Israel. So it looks like Ukraine is a physical country. No, that's the Jews, and that's the Jew trafficking, human trafficking, and organ trafficking capital of the world, Ukraine. That's where the primary organization, the chopping up, like some of the Russian soldiers talked about when they got there and invaded. Like you can see some of the interviews. They said, I mean, and these were hardened, old-school Russian warriors. These are vets. They're there talking about, we saw like kind of like warehouse places where the children would be brought into these facilities. Little children, 8, 10 years old, 6, 7, you know, and they would take 20 of them and take them to one place, and then the other 20 they might take upstairs. And then they would take them upstairs and just literally chop the bodies up, like right there while they're alive. And then put the body pieces in certain bags and stuff like that to be sent different places, and skin them. Like when they describe the stuff, it's so horrifying. It's difficult to even believe, but you can see the soldiers talking about the things that they saw. And they said, we've heard about these things happening in Ukraine for decades, but we never wanted to believe it was true. But then some of the soldiers went there and they actually witnessed what they were doing. What we're seeing is that when we say human trafficking and organ trafficking, we're talking about primarily Jewish industries. Yes, there are other people involved, but like anything, if you have a crack cocaine industry, you get a lot of people involved. But the question is, who's involved at the top? Who's organizing it? Who made the formula to create a drug that dangerous? Who decided how it would be shipped and how it would get through customs, or how it would come into the country on planes or boats? Who facilitates the process? Who's making the big money, and who's organizing the interest? Now, at this point, we're talking about Jews. So what happens is you got Jews on the border of Russia, and you got Jews in Russia too. So the Russians are like, we're not going to allow another Bolshevik revolution. We're not going to allow that. They're going to come and exterminate us. And now they have different tools. So Russia goes in and does that. I'm coming to what's happening in Palestine. So Russia's in Ukraine fighting the Jews there. Yes, there are more people that they're fighting. But let me just make this other piece because it's important. When we see that we hear these stories of Ukraine taking the people in Ukraine and forcing 18-year-old girls to go and join the army and go fight the Russians. And we're saying, why are they putting the people in Ukraine out there to fight these Russian-trained soldiers? We have to understand. Part of the Jews' strategy is that the breadbasket of Europe, but right. really almost the world,
yeah.
is Ukraine.
Yeah.
Ukraine makes the wheat. I mean, a lot of the food stocks for the whole planet, a lot of the natural raw material for the food stocks of the planet come out of Ukraine. Is a very naturally wealthy place in terms of food capacity. So one of the things that Jews do when they want to control and take over populations, they love to control food supplies. So what they want to do is exterminate the Ukrainians and move a bunch of Jews to take over Ukraine. So the way they're doing it is they're not going to send Jews to the battlefield. They're sending the Ukrainians to the battlefield against the Russians to exterminate them so that they can then move the Jews in. They're not doing it thinking they can beat the Russian army. In fact, that's not what they're trying to do. They don't want to go and get into Ukraine and have the same problem that they have in Palestine, where they got this population that they got to wipe out now. So if they're going to take Ukraine, they need the Ukrainians dead. So they pitted them in a war with Russia. So you got a Jew at the head, but the Jew not going out there fighting. You don't see Zelensky out there fighting. The Jew sends the Ukrainians to war with Russia, tries to justify it and make it the thing that needs to happen in the interest of exterminating the Ukrainians. So they're using the Ukrainians on the ground to exterminate the Russians. They're trying to get control of Ukraine so they have control of the world's food supply. And this entire time this is happening, President Putin and the Russians are like, nah, we're not having it. We're not going to let this happen. But they're being very wise in how they deal with it because the Russians are not interested in killing Ukrainian people on the ground. They have to defend themselves and fight the military. But if you notice, they're not leveling Ukraine because they're not interested in destroying the place of Ukraine. They just don't want the Jews to have control of it to be used as leverage to slaughter Russians right there on their border. So Russia knows what's happening. So in August 2022, I'll never forget this, because I pay attention to what's going on. I saw an article that came out and said that the Russians were meeting with the Palestinian Security Authority to do some drills. I immediately called up my friend. We always talk about this. I said, look, bro, I hope President Putin is very careful because I know what's going to happen. These Jews are not going to take this well. And if it comes out in the paper and it becomes public, then if I know, then they know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it came out publicly that the Palestinian Authority was going to be doing some drills. Our security authority was going to be doing some drills and meeting with Russia. That was on August 17th, 2022. August 20, 2022, Alexander Dugin's daughter was murdered. They tried to murder Alexander Dugin. Who is Alexander Dugin? Alexander Dugin is a person in Russia, a philosopher, a teacher, educator, who President Putin looks up and has very great respect for. So they wanted to send a message. These Jews wanted to send a message. So they go and murder. They tried to murder Dugin, but his daughter got in the car. He got in a different car, and they blew up his daughter's car. So they murdered a good friend of President Putin to send a message to the Russians because they weren't able to get directly to President Putin. They tried to send those drones at Moscow, but the Russians were able to defend against that. So I didn't think much of it afterwards because I was like, wow, we knew these Jews were coming, but man, I didn't know they were going to do that. Nobody looks at it from the angle of it was the Jews, because you would have had to see that article and understand how Jews respond to something like that to understand what's happening. Now, I want to bring us to October 7th, because that's why I shared that discussion to bring us to October 7th. Now, that was August 20th, 2022. Better learn something about the bear. This President Putin is a mean cat. And the Russians, they don't fight like they don't play games. They're cold and calculating. That was August 2022. October 7th, 2023, what did we see? From my understanding of it, we saw a air, ground, and water assault that was orchestrated at the same time. They came in on boats, they came in through the air on those hang gliders, and they came in on the ground. They blew up part of the fence for the Israelis, then they took down one of their communication centers. By the time they got into the barracks with the IDF soldiers, the Israeli Defense Forces, they were still in their pajamas. They didn't even see it coming, and they just took them out. I mean, they just started leveling them, taking them down, kidnapped a bunch of them, and took them back to say, hey, look, we want to get some of our prisoners out. And they dealt the hardest blow to Israel that we can imagine. And the reason why it was such a vicious assault was because people have to understand, once that happened, everybody's watching that. It shows their vulnerability. They killed like something like 1,000 of their soldiers. I mean, just killed them, which means that tells Hezbollah, that tells Islamic Jihad and everybody, yo, this Iron Dome ain't as iron as we thought. And it tells the Israelis we're vulnerable, which is why we see them slaughtering people. Why am I bringing this up about October 7th? What's relevant in our discussion about Russia of October 7th? Let me ask you a question. Whose birthday might you think is October 7th?
I don't know. Putin's? I don't know.
There you go. Yep, there you go. Some people said Elijah Muhammad. Yeah, Elijah Muhammad, President Putin's birthday is October 7th.
Mm.
So what happened October 7th was, okay, so you're going to come into Russia and lay it down like that. Okay, well, we have some things we can do too, because we know some of your friends. And, you know, it's not going to go too well for you. So now that's my perspective on what's happened. And if you want to see and say, well, do I think that's the case? No. And I have some videos we can show this. What did the Israelis say when it happened? You had Israelis that work in their parliament, Israeli relevant figures that said, we see what's happening. We see Russia. And Russia is going to pay for this. Like they said it right there on October 19th. I have one of the guys, he's out there talking very boldly on Russian television, on RT. He's saying, Russia, we see what you're doing. We know you're behind this, and you're going to pay for this. And there's nothing that's going to stop you from paying for it. And what did we just see recently? March 2024. We see ISIS. Yeah, right. Remember, most people, if you notice, ISIS, in the 1990s, it was said on television, so we have the documentation. ISIS, this is before we had something called ISIS. There was a guy that was doing an interview on television, and he was saying, we were trying to learn more about how the IDF, well, the Secret Service in Israel works, and they were saying some of the things they send to code people are terms like Israeli Secret Intelligence Service, ISIS. Right. So this is from the 90s. Like, this is from the 90s. So this is way before we had anything called ISIS. And I saw that years ago. And for me and you, we would have been thinking, why are they using the name of goddess of Set to have something? You know, we looking at it from a comedic perspective. It had nothing to do with that.
Right.
That's how they code what they're doing. And then all of a sudden they come out with ISIS. So when you see ISIS doing something, ISIS represents Israel, which is why they never attack Israel. They only attack the enemies of Israel. As a matter of fact, let me take this to somewhere else, because I want people to understand why this is relevant to you as an African. I was in East Africa. And if you all remember, Kenya, West Point Mall, Westlake Mall. Is it Westlake or West Point Mall? Is it either Westlake or West Point Mall, right there in Kenya, in Nairobi? All of a sudden had a terrorist attack in that mall. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to tell you what happened. Most people don't have it. I think it was 2014, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Most people don't know. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I'm remembering it and the attack on it. I remember. It was vicious. Yeah,
they bombed it. They bombed the thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it didn't make sense because why are they going to a mall in Kenya? What does this have to do with anything? All right. You ready, right?
Mm-hmm.
You ready? You holding on to your seat?
Go ahead, brother.
All right. Yes, sir. All right. Now, the ICC, the International Criminal Court. The ICC, again, is something that, like anything, Jews all involved with. What is the International Criminal Court? Basically, the Jews and other whites around the country, but it's predominantly Jewish control. They were going around Africa saying, any African leader that we say is criminal, we're going to try them. So the African leaders start thinking, wait a minute. Man, some of them were just corrupt as anybody else, but the truth of it is they were like, what kind of sense does it make for us to participate in an organization that we don't run or control that can decide that our behavior is criminal? Like, the leaders of Africa said, this is ridiculous. And some of them knew that they would eventually be tried by the International Criminal Court whenever they decided the time was to happen. So they said, nah, we're not going to do this. So they quietly set up a meeting to meet in Kenya, flew in on Friday, relaxed on Saturday, and they were going to meet on Sunday to vote to get out of the ICC and say we no longer recognize the ICC, International Criminal Court, to defend their own interests as leaders. When the Jews found out that they were in town to have that meeting on Saturday, they bombed that hotel. Mm. I mean, they bombed that mall and did that terrorist attack. That's how Jews operate. ISIS. They came in there because they was like, nah, that, because their interest was once they have this, they can take any leader in Africa that they want to not be in office, pull them out through the ICC and install their own leaders. So like we would have never had a Baba Magufuli if we had not stopped them from continuing to do with the ICC what they were doing. So we would have never even had a Baba Magufuli. We would have no leaders of any good interest. We wouldn't have had what's happening in the Sahel right now. We call One Africa, Niger, Burkina Faso, and Mali. We wouldn't have this right now if we hadn't dealt properly with the ICC. But the Jews didn't want us to stop the ICC, so that's why they bombed in Kenya. My point is the same thing we saw recently in Russia with that terrorist attack. The Jews are upset with Russia. So they go into a concert and just start murdering people on the ground. So once we understand that it's not nations that are fighting, it's the Jews fighting everybody, the whole conversation changes. Because now you're looking to see, now there are things that are going on around the world that may not be inspired by Jews, but most of them are not that relevant. Most everything that is of relevance, of major relevance, and consideration is some genocidal program that's being sponsored by Jews where we often don't know the good guys. In my opinion, this is my opinion, President Vladimir Putin, and again, y'all know me, I'm an African centered all the way. When Baba Magufuli was here, I would have put him as the number one man in the world because he was the only country on the planet with a major significant population that put a middle finger up to shutting this country down for this Fauci thing.
That's right.
We're not shutting down one day.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't shut down one day. So I would have given him the title. But right now, I got to be honest. The leader of the free world, in my opinion, is President Vladimir Putin. He not only has a history. You can see the pictures of him on ground with Samora Machel in Mozambique.
Right.
Like right there with his military equipment. So like he's not just talking this fight. Mm-hmm. He's been in a fight. But Russia has a history. If you want to fight for your freedom and unleash yourself from the colonial yoke of Western domination, a lot of it is Jewish domination, Russia gives you some guns and some training and say, look, fight for yourself. We ain't going to do all your fighting for you, but if you want to get free, we'll help you.
Mm-hmm.
That's just been the truth of the history. Right now, I don't think they've ever done it stronger than they're doing now. Right now, we're brothers on the ground and sisters on the ground in West Africa are fighting like nobody's business. I'm not taking nothing away from them.
Right on.
But they've made a great alliance with Russia. So now they don't have just an alliance with some of the Arab nations who will help with some weapons. Now they got a big boy in the plane. Really, the major defiance to Jewish world domination and extermination on the planet right now is Russia. I am so proud that our brothers were wise enough to take that place over and then partner with the Russians, because it's just the best play you can make on the chessboard right now. It's the best play you can make. So we got people that are fighting major battles and wars. And I'm saying all of this to say, if we circle back around to what's going on in Palestine right now, these Jews are so afraid that people will realize that they're not they're vulnerable and they're not undefeatable and invincible, that they're going the extra mile. They're not accidentally killing innocent people. They are intentionally killing people who are bringing humanitarian aid to the Palestinians. They're saying they want to, and I want people to understand this is a different perspective than we have. We don't think like Jews. But if you can think for a moment like a Jew, it's like you're a bully. And then some dude comes up and punches you in your face when nobody's looking, or when everybody's looking, and it hurts you. It hurts your eye. You want to make sure that you pulverize this dude in front of everybody. Because if you do not, your days of being a bully are over.
Right, you're showing weakness.
Yes. So what they're doing now is they're going overboard to show, we'll kill Americans. We'll kill American aid workers. We'll kill Australian aid workers. We'll kill all of you bastards. We're not playing, because they want the world to be afraid and tremble at the thought of Jewish aggression. Kind of like they do if you say anything about a Jew now, they think you're going to get canceled. They're going to steal your money. Mm-hmm. They're going to shut you down like they did. Yay, go from $2.5 billion to $1.5 billion or $1 billion overnight. Like take $1.5 billion from you. You don't even know how they did it. They want you to be afraid to say the word Jew. The same way they're doing that with speech and eliminating free speech in America and making laws that make it illegal for you to be anti-Semitic, which that doesn't even make any sense.
That don't make no sense.
Nevertheless, it don't make no sense. But basically they're making laws. If you say something about a Jew, you committed a crime, which is against the Constitution. They've eliminated the Constitution by virtue of their executive power and their judicial power. And more specifically, they don't have enough judicial power to actually make this happen. That's not what it is. They have literally turned the whites into such flimmering cowards. They're more weak, like their representation, which doesn't represent their interests, are more flimsy and weak than even our Mobutu race-trading, sourpuss, gay representative. Theirs are even worse than ours. They are giving their First Amendment away without any fight right now because they're compromised and they're cowards. So it's not even the Jews making all of the decisions. Sometimes it's Anglos passing bills like DeSantis, because he's bent over, bent over the couch, bending over for the Jew. In Israel, signing a bill saying you can't put out a flyer telling people what Jews are doing in America. You can't tell nobody in America they can't put out a flyer. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
But the Jews, when we say Jews are the problem, this is where we have the book. You can go to waronthehorizon.com. Again, waronthehorizon.com. Put that in, and you put in Jews are the problem. You can get it, or you can get it at moneytreepublishing.com as well. My site is waronthehorizon.com. Then we have a European who does some of the publishing, Dave Gahari, and they have a lot of books talking about Jews there. Mm-hmm. And so you can also get the book on Jews are the problem. I mean, on moneytreepublishing.com. But the reason I wrote the book, like you were saying, you was looking in the book and you was seeing those things. The reason I wrote this book was because we have been traditionally fighting white and black in this country. Mm-hmm. And Jews are white.
Right. Jews are white.
Right.
Well, you know, that's funny. That's a funny thing because every time I hear that, I think about Nasser. You know, he said when the Jews left here, y'all was black. And then y'all came back white. What happened? You know?
That's right. They make themselves whatever they want to be wherever they are.
Yeah.
So we've been, even in America, though, I mean, quite frankly, yeah, they white, if you want to call it that. But truthfully, if we look at who financed the slave trade and who was in control of it, whose industry it was a Jewish industry.
Mm-hmm.
All whites in America participated on some level, one way or the other, even if they were just in the industry that benefited from it. So it was an American business and industry, but it was a Jewish business and industry, but it was American culture. So Americans participated. To that degree, as African nationalists, when we've been fighting in this country for our freedom, we've been fighting white folks. And it ain't matter if they were Jew or Gentile.
Exactly.
But now what's happening, we have to be able to see what's happening in order to be able to fight appropriately, because since the Jews are exterminating the white folks, the white folks don't like us any more than they ever did in the past. They are the same white folk they always been.
Mm-hmm.
However, they're now seeing that they're being targeted for extermination, and they are. The only thing is, for us, they don't understand. They white folk, I don't know if they ever will. The thing is, we've been facing 400 years of genocide, so we're not, like, impressed with you saying somebody's targeted you as white. Like, that's not impressive to us. We've been dealing with 400 years, and you've been the main culprit of it. So, but I'm just saying that to say, they're not wrong. Like, when we hear it, sometimes we think what they're saying doesn't make any sense. They just complaining because they don't have the same power they used to. That is true. But there is an extermination campaign going on against white folks. So I give a good example when people hear it. And this is how Jews do. They have an incredible sense of humor. Mm-hmm. We see this whole DEI movement. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. Right. You've heard that, right?
Right. DEI, yes.
Right. It's really some old pushing some gay stuff and destroying the whole culture and telling white folk that you got to have this many black people and that. But they're not doing anything to help black people.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just tell people what it is, because this is just how Jews operate. I'm not making this up. You got to just be able to see how they operate, and then you can see through stuff. I looked at it very early and said, okay, here are these Jews, and they're clever. I don't tell people this usually because they can't handle it. But I think with the level of discussion that we've had today, I think that people will be able to appreciate what I'm about to say. And see, I'm not just making stuff up. You know, I know what I'm talking about. It's not really DEI. It's really diversity, inclusion, and equity. Now, what does that spell?
Die.
Yeah, exactly. What they saying is, we're going to make a harsh posh of miscegenation. Y'all don't stand for anything. You don't belong to nothing. Just go ahead and sex each other up and just kill your own race and die. Be gay and everything. We're pushing death.
Yeah.
Die. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what this whole thing is about. Every direction we look is Jewish manipulation and control and destruction. And it's like things with Palestine, nobody can dispute. Things like the Fauci and these injections, if you're informed, there's no possible way you can dispute it because the names are Jewish up and down the list.
Yeah.
With some complicity from some like white Anglo-Saxons, like some white Gentiles like Bill Gates and Fauci, those are little boys on their list. They're big boys to us for killing us, but they're little boys on their list because the Jews are the ones in control, for anybody that knows.
Well,
if we look at this whole hip-hop gay culture, it's Jews. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just thinking that when you said about Bill Gates and Fauci and them, and I remember Bill Gates at a TED Talk, and it's not surprising that the TED Talk was created by European Jew as well. But and I guess there was a TED Talk, but he's speaking to the audience saying about these vaccinations, about these vaccines. And then he said, and I don't know if it was a Freudian slip or a slip or whatever, He said, we have created vaccines for population control. Because they're always talking about population. They ain't talking about white folks population. They're talking about people outside of them, and particularly us. I seen a piece where there was a panel, and they talk about we need to decrease the population by a couple of billion, or 2 or 3 billion. And we're going to start with Africans, because Africans are most, you know, expendable, because they ain't doing shit. So we're going to start with Africans. We're going to kill them, you know, through various means, and then continue on to others whereby we can get the population down to what we feel is safe and so forth, and to be able to have resources and to be able to ride your horse and shit like that, you know. And so yet, you know, I look at this because we've been targeted for elimination and extermination from get-go, from these, when Europeans began to rise. Now, obviously, in ancient times, they sat at our feet. Europeans or Caucasians sat at our feet to learn. And we taught them. And we showed them. And then they came back as conquerors and just tried to put their face on what we, on who we were. And this has happened numerous times. And so, you know, it doesn't surprise me, but not me, and maybe, and definitely not you, but the majority of our people, man, we are in a funk. You know, we are in a serious, we don't have the understanding that we are being targeted, that we are, you know, for extermination. And we can see what's happening with the Palestinians. That's why I'm saying you're looking at genocide in real time right before your eyes, and then it's going to come to a place near you because it's going to be you.
And let me say something about what you're saying there, because I agree with you 100%. I'm going to add a little nuance. This is how the Jew operates, and this is a deep one because it's funny. Now, I agree with you 100%, everything you just said. Bill Gates is targeting black people. The whole objective is to depopulate non-white folks. From a Bill Gates perspective, Bill Gates is a Gentile. The Jews are not looking at it that way. And this is what's happening. The reason you hear white folks talking about them being exterminated now, they don't care. White folks were on board with us being exterminated. They did not realize, though, when NSSM 200, Henry Kissinger, a Jew, the National Security Study Memorandum, 1974, NSSM 200. When he put that out, this was the play. The Jews intend to exterminate the entire planet population of Gentiles. That means a non-Jew. If you're not a Jew, you got to go. But the Jew's not going to do his own hard work. He might have some scientists to make some stuff because he needs to make sure he targets non-Jews. So he might have some scientists, but the hard work, the money, raising the money, building the infrastructure. So what the Jew did was, in the early 1900s, eugenics was the black people in America got to go. So they did Planned Parenthood and started destroying, pushing abortion in the black community and all this kind of stuff to target us here. Then the Jew said, okay, we got to go after white folks. But the only way to get white folks to fund their own extermination is to tell them that their real problem is black people around the world. So NSSM 200, National Study Security Study Memorandum 200 by Henry Kissinger, the objective is this. We're going to tell white folks, well, you know what? These black folks in America, you think it's a problem. Yeah, yeah, we're killing them. But your real problem is the black folks internationally. They're the ones you're going to have a problem with. So we got to get out in front of it and kill them. Well, what the white folks didn't realize is they just needed the white folks to put the money and infrastructure in place to build the mechanism to slaughter everybody worldwide. So for us, clearly it's targeting us because that's what they sold it to white folks as, Ford, and then those presidents came behind him. They sold it as, oh, we're going to kill black people, Jimmy Carter. Global depopulation, mm-hmm. Population control, all of that Clinton's into, all of that is targeted at us from the white perspective because that's what the Jew sold them. But then the Jew releases opioids and all of this stuff, the Sackler family, into the white community and killing them. And now, it's only now that white folks are beginning to see, wait a minute, this whole global depopulation thing, this thing wasn't about killing black people. They still hate us. Don't get me wrong. The white folks still hate us, but it was never, okay, it is targeted us from our perspective because they're killing us. But it's more Jews convincing white folks to do what white folks are always willing to do, attack and kill black people. Mm-hmm. And so the white folks funded it and produced the mechanism to make it happen. And then the Jews have now taken that science and stuff, and now they're applying it to everybody. That's the reason why you hear white folks nowadays talking about depopulation, Why are they talking about it? Because some of them have woken up and realized this whole time we think we're killing black people, it's a bunch of Jews trying to kill us too. Mm-hmm. See, they don't care that we're being killed. They care that they're being killed. And what they realize now is the way that the Jew has positioned them is that the white folks have been so evil to us, we're not helping no white folks. They've been so evil to Asians. Ain't no Asians helping no white folks. The white folks are starting to realize ain't nobody going to help us right now because we've been so mean to people. Because the Jew is white when he's helping us go kill these people. Then all of a sudden, after that's over, he jumps out of the way and he points to us and says, white supremacy. Mm. Because white supremacy is horrible. And then we, not knowing what's going on, and we don't like them anyway, we get involved in it. And I'm not saying we shouldn't deal with white supremacy. I'm just saying we got to start understanding what's going on so that we realize right. We have more than one enemy. But the biggest enemy is the one that's exterminating the whole planet. And he's the first one we got to deal with.
You know, that's interesting because when the Jew, these people are not the Hebrews. They are not the people of the past. These are late converts to Judaism. These are Ashkenazi. These are Eastern Europeans who've accepted Judaism. And Judaism is a religion. It's not a nationality. It's not a culture. I mean, it's a culture. It's not a nationality. It's not a race. There's no such thing anyway. But they have separated themselves from the rest of humanity and put themselves above that and are willing, just as you just stated, to eliminate billions of people. You know, this is crazy, man. This is crazy.
Yeah. Let me. Yeah, one of the things we did. Oh, go ahead.
And I was going to say, let me get some callers in. I got a number of callers who've been waiting. You take some calls if you'd like to. Okay. Yeah, but go ahead and make your statement. Yep.
No. I'm good. Let's go. Let's get the people's chance to speak.
All right, brother. There's a number of you guys in the queue. Hit star twice, and I'll let you in, and then you can have a question or comment or concern to Brother Ayo Kamathi, the irritated genie. Jews are the problems. Brother Irv Lewis, how you doing?
Brother, thank you for taking my call. Brother Kamathi knows who I am. I'm from Baltimore. Brother, it's good to hear you on here. You're spitting so much knowledge, brother. I'm trying to process it all. You know, I have your book, Jews Are the Problem, but you have a people who call themselves the chosen people. Let's be clear. That in itself separates them from everyone else. That tries to give you the impression, and there are people who actually believe this, that these people are chosen. God had children, but they love this child the most. So no matter what they do, they're fine. You know, and that's the part that takes me.
You're spitting so much knowledge, brother. I'm trying to process it all. You know, I have your book, Jews Are the Problem, but you have a people who call themselves the chosen.
I'm sorry, Irv. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was saying, these people call themselves the chosen people by God. And when you start out with that premise, there's nothing you can do wrong. And Brother Kamathi, he's expanding what I already know, but I had no idea how to put it into words, into something that would make sense. And what he's saying is hitting so to the point. I believe we have to do what he is suggesting, that we partner up with people who have the same mind that we have, because if we don't, we all are going to be consumed by the people who have an agenda for all of us. They have an agenda, and the agenda is being carried out right now all over the world. And if we don't
partner up with people who we may not like. You may not like a Bill Duke. You may not like someone who appears to be a white supremacist. But let's be clear. If you guys have an issue that is the same, if y'all don't get together and exterminate this issue,
we're both going to go.
Yeah, yeah. We've got to put our differences aside for a moment. I didn't say fall in love, go marry white women. I didn't say, you know, all that, join. I didn't say all that. But what I did say was, if we have something in common, let's use that commonality, extinguish this problem, and then we can go back to fighting each other if we want to, if that's what you want to do. I'm necessarily don't think that's the way to do it, but we have to use common sense when it comes to this. Because if we don't, we're going to find ourselves, because you see how people are posturing right now, how the Trump people are separating from the Republicans and the Republicans and the Democrats. Everybody's posturing because they're losing. What's happening is Africa has woken up and said the West ain't the big dog no more. And when you fall off your mountain, you don't know how to operate down in the valley with the poor people. And that's what's happening now. They're realizing that Africa has awakened and that they realize that we don't need aid. We can negotiate our resources. And now, and with the internet, everything is instant now. Everything you say is in real time. And that's important because accurate information in a timely manner is what helps me to make a decision that is best for me. I'm going to get off and let someone else talk. Thank you. God bless you, my brother.
Right on.
Appreciate you, my brother. Yes, sir. Strong brother.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Any Atlanta caller? Jones?
Yes, brother. Yeah. Can you?
I can hear you.
Can
go
you hear
ahead.
Me?
I can hear you. Go ahead. Yes.
Hey, Brother O'Shea, this is Brother Jelani Dupuele.
Hey, Brother Jelani, how you doing, brother? Good to hear your voice, man.
Yeah, good to hear you too, man. Thank you for this program, and thank you for bringing Brother Irritated Genie on.
Right
thank
on.
You for the subject.
Yes.
I want to backtrack just a second here when y'all were talking about COVID. There's still some lingering thoughts in a lot of our minds that there was actually some kind of a disease that was going around called coronavirus or COVID. And I want to give you some materials to go ahead and look so you can see it for yourself to really just explain what this whole thing was about. Check out, if you got a pen, please check out theendofcovid.com, and I'm not a proponent as far as making money off of them or nothing like that, but I join them and I have access to a lot of things that they're putting out. Please check that out because it's got PDFs and all kind of conversations from all kind of angles that you can get a good look at what this all is and was about. And in particular, there's a PDF or a something that you can make into a slideshow that's by this doctor. He's no longer here no more. His name was Dr. Obamsawin, PhD. I think they killed him before he got too far from this. Or should I say with this?
So you're saying
PDF,
it's called
100
the
100 pages long.
So the website is called theendofcovid.com?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And you can just check out, or should I say Google, or go ahead and check into YouTube on just seeing who this gentleman, Raymond Obamsawin, mm-hmm. PhD, is, who produced that PDF. But it's not boring. It's great. Like I said, even though it ended in 2021, and his life ended in 2021 too, in December. A lot of the stuff that's going on now, it was really being recognized right there. And as far as the number of deaths, the ones that's listed is less than what they have tallied up right now, but it's still pertinent. And one thing that we need to say too, How did these people get away with this? They got away with it with these vaccines, so-called vaccines. They got away with it because they said that, and it says in this thing that Obamacare has put out, they said that these pharmaceutical companies were all working in tandem. Everyone had a time in which to put theirs out there in the public. And then when theirs was put out in the public, the other ones, you know, wouldn't. And then the other ones would, and theirs wouldn't be infected. So they gave us the notion that, oh, I took that vaccine, and ain't nothing happened to me because some of us didn't get what this person got. So I just wanted to, I didn't want to take up all your time here, but thank you, Brother Genie, and I tip my hat to you, and hey, right on.
Well, talk hey, to you later. That's right, right on, brother. Thanks a lot, man. Brother Jelani, appreciate you. Glad you called. Continue to listen.
You're welcome.
All right.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sister Habia.
Yeah, greetings to the land. And peace of the Holy. I'm just really appreciating this powerful presentation today. And wanted to say Asante Sana to the brothers. Very powerful, very informative, Asante. And hello?
I'm here. Go ahead.
Yes, but mm-hmm. And I had just a couple of questions. If you comment about Biden has this outrageous support for Netanyahu and the Jews, even though he's trying to push away from it now. And, wanted to see how you commented about that. And Biden also has his support for Ukraine and, the war with Russia, like he's giving support for Ukraine to fight Russia. And so, I feel Ukraine is very racist in and of itself. And then, tying it into what you were saying earlier about the whole situation what is the angle with Trump? He supports Putin. And then they have in these Republicans, the white Republicans supporting him. So I was just trying to have you comment on that and give a little more insight on that. And also if you comment about what's going on with Syria being attacked by the Jews. How is that playing? And I was just reading, I think it was today, they were saying that, Iran was vowing to respond to that attack by the Jews. And then I hear that in response to that, the Jews are saying if Iran attacks them, then they're going to go to the land, the country itself to attack Iran.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, my brother.
Yes, okay. This good stuff here. Yes, thank you.
Hey.
For calling. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
Right. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All right, so let me jump in here on this one. Okay. So let me start with the Biden question. And I'm going to take people back to your story. Go look at the dates. You're going to laugh when you see it. We all remember Hunter Biden's laptop got confiscated by the FBI. But they said it was nothing on it. It wasn't serious for about 8 months or so. Then, if you remember, President Biden came out and said to Israel, hey, on this Russia and Ukraine thing, you need to speak up and take a position. It's time for Israel, our good friends, to say something. As soon as that happened, I did just like I told you before. I called my friend. We started talking on the phone. I was like, yo, man, does Biden realize what he just did? You can't talk to Jews like that. And so me and him went back and forth, and we finally came to the conclusion. We said, yeah, you know what? Hunter Biden's about to be in some trouble again. It was either 1 or 2 days. It couldn't have been more than 3 days. After he told Israel that, go look at the dates for yourself. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, the FBI says, uh-oh, Hunter Biden's laptop, it is real. And what's on it is true. What does that mean? I mean, the Jews are saying, hey, boy, watch your mouth. Like, the Jews don't look at it like Trump or Biden. They look at it like they don't like Trump because he's a maverick. However, Trump bends over for Jews as much as Biden, just mm-hmm. differently.
Right.
To her point. So a good point. Biden is just totally controlled by he's a pedophile that we've seen molest children. He's so corrupt, molest his own children. His son is sick pervert, messing with children. I mean, all of them are sick perverts. So they're totally owned by the Jews. That's why his whole cabinet is Jewish. However, Trump he was owned by the Jews, but differently. He was owned by the Eastern Jews, Chabad Lubavitch, and it's a little different. He's a maverick. So and they don't trust him, and they don't, it's different. So, like, they didn't intend for him to be president. So when the whole Fauci thing hit, if we remember, Trump came out and said, hey, try hydroxychloroquine. That was the first time I ever heard of hydroxychloroquine.
Mm-hmm.
Now we know it works. He didn't know what was going on. He just knew he was the president, and he didn't want this thing to destroy the country. So he was trying to do the best options he found from the people that were talking to him. My point being, she's saying about the Republicans. We have to remember, Trump is the one that let Pollard, who was one of the biggest traitors in American history, let him out of jail to go back to Israel for free. He's the one that moved Jerusalem to the main city.
Right.
So what I'm saying is the Jews control both sides.
However, always.
The point is correct.
Always.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But she's making a point where they're getting the strongest resistance. It's not really from the Republicans at the political level, because once you look at them, those are the ones giving the money to Israel to do these bombings and murders and stuff. They're all controlled by the Jews. However, on the ground, the Republican white majority in this country are Gentiles. They're a little bit different. They're not as in love with the Jews as their so-called representation is. So to the point, the representation of the Republicans on the ground level, not at the – everybody in Congress is corrupt. Just hang that up. They have no representation. But on the ground level, what she's saying is absolutely the case. The Democratic Party is just a Jew gay party. It's just a gay Jew party. The Republican Party is the good old boy white. Hold up. Maybe we need to stop some of this bending over for Jews. And they're starting to have some resistance. And so when you see Trump liking Putin, when he first came in, that's that Anglo-Saxon Gentile white man respect for another white racial counterpart. That's one of the reasons the Jews did not like Trump, the ones that don't like him, because he doesn't fit their objective. Their objective is to destroy Russia and to get U.S. fighting Russia. That couldn't happen with Trump. He don't want to fight with Russia because they white, even though he bends over for Jews. So he's like, on the one hand, he's a traitor. On the other hand, he's a true patriot who really loves America. So he's like both things at the same time. To her other point, when she asked about Israel bombing, the Jews bombing Syria. Yes. So what's happening now is, remember, their objective is to get the Russians and the U.S., the white boys with these guns on the ground here, warring and killing each other, so they've destroyed the two great empires that could destroy them. Their big threat is those two big boys.
Mm-hmm.
So because Russia is playing smooth, they're not doing enough to legitimize the full all-out war with NATO. Russia's doing everything they can do to slow that down. And the Jews just got hit by Hamas, a hard hit. Right now, the Jews are like, it's taking too long for this thing to happen. What they don't want to happen is the American Republic starts saying, we're sick of the Jews, revolts, and then America revolt against the Jews, and then their plan is over. Or the Arabs just storm and destroy Tel Aviv, and then it's over. Or the Russians help. They're not going to do it up front, but the Russians help the Arabs storm and destroy Tel Aviv and Jerusalem and all that. They don't want something to happen that hurts their interests. So they're trying to force an all-out war. So they know if they go and bomb like they did Syria, even if Iran does not strike back. They will do a false flag and strike themselves and say that Iran did it. And they'll kill American citizens. Mm-hmm. They'll kill American military in Israel or somewhere and say it was Iran to then get the U.S., because Blinken is the U.S., to then go to Congress and say we must join in because they are trying to force America to fight with Russia. And then that will force NATO, which would be France, America, England, and all the countries in NATO. I think Turkey's in NATO. Yeah. It'll force all of them to go to war with Russia, which is what they're trying to do. So, yes, those attacks, expect to see more of them they're smart. Yeah, this one piece I want to say, because it's very, very important, because I want to tell people, I know our time is getting short. I want to tell people what's going to happen so that you'll know before it happens, so that you're prepared. This is my prediction. If the response, if I'm correct, and that response we saw on October 7th was partly due to what the Jews did in murdering Dugin in Russia, then what we're about to see, I don't know when it's going to happen. I'm not good with time. But in the next 2 years, I'm pretty confident what Russia is going to do in Israel in response to what happened and these Jews did on the ground murdering Russian citizens is going to have the Jews fleeing Israel. I want you to hear what I'm saying. It's not going to be no playground stuff like October 7th. It's going to make that look like laughable. They're not going to tolerate this. They know that this is Bolshevik Revolution. 66 million Russians. It's not going to happen again. Or Eastern Europeans. They're not doing that again. I predict that the next big hit of Israel, it might come in two or three waves, but it's going to be so massive that they're going to have to flee Israel. And here's what we got to be prepared for as African people. For all my African centered people out there, you know what your job is. This is what we got to start saying. I'm giving you it up front before it even happens. We got to start telling African people on the continent and as in the diaspora, when them Jews have to leave Israel and seek asylum, Africa ain't nothing for them but a graveyard.
That's right.
You are not welcome.
That's right.
You are not welcome.
That's right.
We're not going to become no Afrocentians. We are not going to become Afrocentians. It's non-negotiable. You better go somewhere else unless you want to go to sleep permanently. No asylum whatsoever on this continent. Matter of fact, we might say, since y'all fleeing, we're going to send some Jews with y'all and take the ones we got here if we let them out. But my point being, that's what Africa needs to start preparing for now. Because remember, Netanyahu just stated, you know, now that we've done the stuff in the East, now we're coming to Africa. He said that publicly.
That's right.
Nah, you ain't coming to Africa unless you trying to go to sleep. That's we gotta stop being nice guys, all this gay stuff. We gotta be men and women again and care about our future. We're in a great position, but the worst decision we could possibly make is to open any hand and any invitation to any Jew for any reason. Period.
I say. Let me get this caller in here. We ain't got much time. Brother Marcus, good afternoon.
Yes, Brother Oshie, greetings and greetings to the good brother, the irritated genie. Brother, you have to go come back, you know. I have to do a part 2 and 3 to this, you know, because 2 hours don't do justice. You got to come back, because I had a question pertaining to the banking system. You know, what is their involvement in the banking system? But I guess you won't have time to address it, but Brother Oshie, I have to have him come back, please.
I sure will, Brother Marcus. I sure will, dear brother. So, no, we don't have much time. So I thank you.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, brother, that's the beauty of this brother here, man, Brother Ayo Kamathi, man. I always ask him, can you come? And he says yes. And I appreciate that. I really do.
Yes, sir.
Brother. Yeah. So we want to. Got a couple of minutes. If you got some closing. Oh, Sister Mama Nabantu, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and good afternoon, Irritated Genie, and thank you so much for bringing this information that we need to hear. And repeat it again. I don't know if we can get a recording of this, but more people need to hear this. I have a question, though, about the Russians in Africa. I feel a little bit suspicious because of some things that have happened I believe it was in the Congo where the Russians came in to help get rid of the so-called terrorists and end up taking over a mine and killing the brothers that were running the mines. He said they have taken it over with permission of the government. And so is their ultimate goal is to take over the continent of Africa? Or is it China?
And are you talking about Russia?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. In my opinion, now again, I'm sitting on the sidelines, I'm watching, but no. And the reason I say that, Russia doesn't have that type of interest because of a couple of reasons. One, Russia is full of natural resources. They really don't need other people like that. That's why these sanctions that the U.S. put on Russia is not affecting them at all. They waging war while under sanctions. Everybody's living good. Russia's not concerned about that. And it's not their history. That's the most important thing. Russia, they were there at the Berlin Conference, but they didn't go into Africa and pursue cutting up any part for themselves.
Right.
If you look at the liberation struggles in the history of Africa, who was it funding? Well, not funding, but providing the weapons. We had to pay for them, but who gave us the weapons and military? Cuba and
right.
Russia.
Yeah, right.
So it's not their way. I'm not saying that a different leader couldn't come and do something different. But no, Russia, now here's the one problem. There's only one problem I see with Russia. I think Russia is the right move for African continent. And we don't want to just have one partner, but that's a good one to have. The only thing, Russia got a lot of Jews. So what happens is, because they're Russian, you might like them, but then you turn around and find out he's a Jew. I don't, Russian Jew, Spanish Jew, American Jew, they all Jews. So I don't think Russians as an ethnic group and a nation are a problem for us. But the Jews in Russia, I wouldn't trust them any more than I trust any other Jews. That'd be all I can say with Russia.
Well, how do you think Africans can differentiate between those different types of Jews? I mean, yeah.
No, that's an excellent question. That means you know what we really need? And I'm glad you said this. I never thought about this, but this is an excellent question that requires an answer, and I think I have an answer. This is how important this is. We need to create a there's no mechanism to do this. We need to create a Jew identification mechanism for African people. Like, we need to be able to say, they can say who's black. We can go anywhere. Everybody know we black. We know who white. We need to create a mechanism that we now can identify who is Jew. I don't know exactly how to do it, but if we create it, that becomes an industry to be able to identify who's Jewish so that we know who we're dealing with. That's a great idea.
Well, I'm going to tell you, that's extremely difficult when you see the names, just even in your book. Some of the people that you say that are Jewish had no idea. You can't go by name. You can't go by look, you know, because what it is a train of thought. It's a theology or perceived theology, but it's a train of thought and behavior. Judaism is now a train of thought and behavior. You know, could I be a Jew? Probably not, but I could be. You know what I'm saying? Because if I subscribe to those tenets of being a Jew. But the bottom line is that I agree with you, Brother Kamathi. We need to identify who we're dealing with, you know?
You know what? Let me just say something based on what you just said. You just said something that's deep. My second version, second edition of Jews Are the Problem, it's Jews Are the Problem too. What it actually deals with is kind of a cross-section of what both of y'all just said. The subtitle of it is Jews Are the Problem too. It's called Why, the Psychology of the Jew. And basically what the whole book is about, it is the psychological profile, definitive, of who the Jew is and how they think, which goes right to what you're saying. Judaism, she said, how do you identify them? And you're saying it's more a thinking, an ideology. That's exactly what I didn't think of it, what you just said it, but that's exactly what the second edition of the book is.
Good.
It's coming out in a couple of months. Yes.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, we sure are. Thank you, dear brother. I appreciate it, man. I really do. I know we're up against the time. But give me some closing remarks, man. And I pray for your safety, man. I really do. You're doing a serious work.
Well, I appreciate you.
You know.
What I want to say is thank you for having a forum. What good is it for me knowing this stuff and feeling it and thinking it could benefit our people if I can't get it to anybody? And I think one of the things that they've done to most affect me they've shut down my internet presence. And so it's hard for people to even know that I'm still doing the work that I'm doing and whatever. So it makes everything more difficult. And for you all presenting a platform where I can share the value that I have with our people is just invaluable. And I just appreciate Time for an Awakening and African Perspective for doing what you guys do. I really, really mean that. I appreciate you. And right I appreciate on. Your callers. Fantastic.
Right on, brother. And you have, you know, access anytime. At any time, brother. Believe me, you do. All right.
Now, let me ask you, are we going to be able to get a copy of this program? This,
right
this is an outstanding program.
Right away. You're going to get a copy right away. I just talked to Brother Kwaku. We're going to do it right away, man. So I'd say next week it'll be in your hands.
Fantastic.
Just go to the website, Time for an Awakening, and then, you know, top of the page, podcast, drop down, African Perspectives. It'll be right there.
Appreciate you, Baba.
Thank you, dear brother. Appreciate you too, man. Bless you. All right.
All right.
We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you stick with us. You stick with us, and we'll be right back next week. Have a good weekend. Have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahadie. Bibi Fahadie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a safe weekend. See you Monday.